Welcome, Kim O'Hara, to the podcast. Kim spent much of her career as a book coach, guiding aspiring authors through the deeply personal process of bringing their stories to life. These days, she's on a new mission, helping people rediscover what it means to truly savor life by weaving simple, meaningful joys into their everyday routines. Kim's work speaks directly to the sandwich generation, those roughly between 30 and 60 who are simultaneously caring for aging parents, raising children, managing careers, and holding everything together for everyone around them. In the midst of all that, the things that once lit us up have often been quietly set aside, shelved by guilt or a to-do list that never seems to end. Kim's message, you don't have to wait for the chaos to quiet down before you start living a life that feels good. A little fun, a little relief, a little you. It doesn't have to wait. So let's dive into this episode and find some joy together as we explore how to enrich the small moments and everyday days that make up our lives. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Hey, welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman. And today I have a really exciting episode, I believe. I met Kim O'Hara. I know it was winter. I feel like it was 2 years ago. It even could have been three, but it was at a time, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, that I was a part of a group called Hey Mama. And there was a workshop, a weekend workshop being held, and Kim was co-leading it with a book publisher, I believe, or a book editor at least. And we were talking about how to get your book published. And, you know, in ways it was an unlikely place for me to be, but something about it piqued my curiosity mm-hmm. and my interest. And I spent the weekend with you, Kim. So that's how you are on my radar. And that's how I think got on your email list maybe at that time, but all this time have been following what you're doing. And isn't that cool that someone can be sort of following and we never really know either. So I want to welcome you to the space and say thank you for saying yes.
Thank you so much. And I'm trying to recall, was that the workshop with the agent out of New York?
Yes. I think her name was
Lucinda. Lucinda.
Yes, it was.
And what's amazing, Lucinda Halpern is an amazing, connected, just incredible super agent out of New York. And the fact that we did that weekend and then never did it again was so wild, right? And,
right.
You know, it was just like a one-off. And actually, when I was sharing with you before we started the interview about a client that came back to me who needed help, it was one of the women from that group. She was the nurse. I can't remember if she was a nurse practitioner, holistic, like she does nutrition, from that group too. That was a powerful group.
Yes, yes. And I think it's the coolest thing that you can meet randomly, quote unquote, randomly, right? And you know, I left that. Did I have a book in formation? Did I create a book from it? No, but I do know that I met beautiful people in the group and it planted seeds that I have no idea where they'll grow. And maybe something was stirred inside me at that time that we don't know the plan. We don't know where it's going to go, but I trust that it was for something, not just something that I, you know, spent money on and netted nothing. That's not the way I prefer to look at things.
Right. Well, what's interesting about that workshop is that workshop was sort of coming at the tail end of my book coaching career, right? And I was looking to do new things. I was like, we got to shake this up. You know, like I knew that I didn't want to just sit and behind my computer and edit books just quietly anymore. I needed to be like talking and engaging and in conversation. And I think that was one of the birthplaces of like permission to take a book weekend and explore your story. And maybe you will write a book, maybe you won't. And I kind of started to feel like loosening the edges of like the rigidity of book coaching, where it's like, you come to me, we're going to slam out a book. And it's like, or we're going to take a year, or we're going to take 6 months. This felt more like, what do you got? Like, what are you creating? Like, where do you want to go? And I think a door opened for me there where I was like, I think I have a different platform, but it didn't catch up to me until this January.
Yeah. And so what kind of started to change and shift in your life that was happening? You named like that rigidity that maybe no longer fit, but were there other things behind the scenes that had been sort of culminating for a while for you?
I had had to ignore for a long time a lot of things women particularly would say to me as clients about their, state of mind or their emotions or their feelings, because they had come to me to do a job and that was to get a book out of them. And so I had to do a lot of like, I don't care if you're tired, I don't care if you don't have time, we're getting this done, push through the feelings. And I think I got to a point where I was like, that mentality stopped working for me emotionally. And I didn't want to be that like taskmaster anymore. And I wanted to gently deliver messages, right? Because I was finding in my life, like the gentle message is just almost as, it's almost better than the hard message. And so my own personal, physical, emotional response to my own behavior as a coach started to inform me, like I started to listen deeper to what women were saying, especially like you spoke of us meeting at the Hey Mama group, which is no longer a group, and permission being talked about at the last event I went to of theirs, and a light bulb went off and I was like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Wow. Just dropped right in there.
I
Yeah.
dropped
And
in.
that's kind of like one of those clues that came to you. You know, when I said to you, I always know, okay, this woman would be great for the podcast. I'm really feeling it. But I put it in your court and I said, what do you want to talk about? And you said, I want to talk about my journey. Under the surface, it feels like little by little, like you're saying, like, oh, there was a new way talking to myself, like these new ways of self-care that were emerging in your life that seemed maybe they were becoming more important. And you had been a woman who had built, from being divorced in your 40s and being a single parent and on your own to building the coaching business, the book coaching business, but then just figuring out ways of like, wow, what you're seeing in other women. What you were feeling in yourself, maybe ways that were not, I don't know, were not self-honoring or, yeah.
It's true. I mean, for a long time, when I say rigidity, I mean like what I was doing and how I guided people was very effective. A lot of people published their books and did very well. And, but I think if you're no longer able to emotionally, you don't want to do that anymore. Like I could have kept doing it, but I decided that this way that I was living, that I had been living for a long time, like you talk about the single parenting, you talk about the building of the business. I got through those hard times with little moments that were delicious for me, whether it was like lying on my couch and putting my feet up and listening to Cuban music where the breeze blew through my apartment, or like going on a little road trip by myself and like picking vegetables at some farm. That's what kept me going. And when I realized that, I was like, oh, this is teachable. Like people aren't teaching this. They're teaching like personal development. They're teaching like big weekends where you're gonna like be unstoppable or incredible or amazing. And I'm like, no, we just need to like plant some flowers on Tuesday, because Wednesday is gonna be hard again, and Thursday is gonna be challenging again, and Fridays. And I didn't want to discount that women are ambitious and women are juggling lots of, kids and aging parents and all this stuff. When I told book clients, you're going to write even if you're going to the funeral, that worked because they needed me to say that. But I don't want to say, I want to say, like, oh, wow, you're going to a funeral? Like, maybe take half a day off.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. And so you call that your delicious life? Yeah,
delicious life. It's live your delicious life. It's, you know, it's a lifestyle choice that is
Yes.
very subtle
Oh, okay.
and
I love
very
it.
simple, very simple.
I think it feels really resonant with me because I think during this trajectory of creating the podcast is that it has become, I say this all the time, but it becomes the all of it, right? Like some people will say the shadow and the light, the yin and the yang or yang. I don't, people say that different ways, but I believe it's true because even prior to our recording today, I was talking to a loved one for an hour about what they were moving through. Yet then I was able to turn to you, knowing that I was going to come out into this space and do something that felt really delicious to me. And
Oh.
that is very soul fulfilling. And I think it's true because you also talk about the sandwich generation and define that for us and, you know, maybe say a word or two why that's important.
Sure. I mean, I am so fresh on this data because I am submitting, book proposals currently to editors for my book, Live Your Delicious Life. And in my research, I discovered 22 million women are in the sandwich generation in America alone, and 9 million of those women are single mothers. And a sandwich generation woman, 30 to 60, is taking care of either, young kids or adult children that have not left or have come back, and then some kind of aging parent. And they have, really crazy jobs that they work multiple hours. They don't have any time for themselves. And generally, they're overachieving, people pleasing. That's not part of the data, but I have found that it's a lot of, constantly checking, constantly making sure that everything's together and organized. And for good reason, for good reason, because societally, we've been told that that's our role, and that's a falsity. We've signed up for it because it empowers us, technically. But it's de-empowering us by the way that it's exhausting and depleting us physically with more heart attacks than women have had. I think that's the biggest killer of women right now in America, as well as mental illness is on the rise, depression, anxiety, all that, because we just don't take a break.
Yes. Absolutely. Those are huge statistics you just named, the 22
Yes.
million, the 9 million, the and so when you think about what's happening there and then that kind of convergence of your work and in claiming or giving ourselves permission to live the delicious life, what does that bring into our lives that we might be craving under the surface?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, look, you could go as deep as you want to go. I mean, I write newsletters about, how to deal with your kids being home for the summer or, how to deal with a difficult relationship. I mean, you can go as in depth as you want, but the tips and the tools are always very, very simple. It's like, do you need to have that conversation today? Can you step away for 15 minutes? And who's telling you you can't? And a lot of times it's guilt. Guilt is a lot of the reason why women won't step away. Either they have an inherent guilt or someone's made them feel guilty. And so it's trying to do something that flips the switch and do it enough times. Here's what I find surprising about this. Or they'll know that they want to swim at the beach and they'll drive by the beach that they live a block from every day and they will not park. And so it's like it's painful the final meters to the finish line. And I don't, I wish I'm not a scientist. I'm not a neuroscientist. I wish I could explain what that is. And maybe one of these days I'll get into a conversation with someone who can explain it to me. But I see it over and over again. There's this like self-defeating belief system that we can't go that like final bit to have what we want. And I've gotten texts from women, specifically the beach, a woman who's like, you know what? That's it. I put my towel in the car and a book and I went to the beach. And afterwards, they're always like, what the hell took me so long?
It's the simplest acts or movements or the thing that's going to get us there, but for some reason to get us there. And I relate to that because I do have adult kids in the house. And if I look, and I
Okay.
was the one who stayed home with my kids, and it's like the wiring became one thing, but also maybe the way that I got feedback of my worthiness, and now I've done the emotional work and understand like, okay, you deserve it all. You're worthy of it all. But it is some sort of rewiring and the allowance. And so when you describe the woman who takes the towel and the book to the beach, it's like, oh, okay, you're giving that experience to yourself. Okay, can you do it again? Can you do it again? Can you do it again? Right. So it replaces the almost like abandonment of self that came before it.
Right. And I think what happens is that women wait, they bottle everything up, and then they go blow off the gasket in Vegas, right? Like, now I'm not saying I love Vegas. I'm not going to say it's not fun to go to Vegas and go dancing and all that kind of stuff. But that's not going to sustain you Monday through Friday. You need a practice that you can do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you even when you get to Vegas, you're not like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this for 6 months. This is the thing. And then you're disappointed and then whatever. And you don't have the muscle to deserve it. Like, go to Vegas. Like, that's just an and to what you already do. It's like I met this woman who had like twins and a young daughter. And she would leave her husband with them once a month, and she would go to Vegas and gamble alone. She was like, I'm out of here. Like, I was in awe of that. I was like, what? People, like, my thought was, people let you do that? And it's like, what am I talking about? She, of course, she can do that. She just says that's what she's doing. That's the criteria, and we don't believe that that's acceptable. And in some people's lives, that might be challenging. I agree. Like, she had worked it out, so that's what she did. But I think we don't ask. I think we don't explain why we need something because she came back every month from that refreshed, renewed. She felt like she was her own person. She could be a better mother. She could be a better worker. She could be a better wife. And it's a win-win.
It seems important, in especially when it comes to parenting, that we, if it's possible for us, that we can trust someone else to hold the reins while we go off and do things for ourselves too.
I mean, yeah, why are we here? Here's the irony. We are constantly thinking we're imperfect and we beat ourselves up for our lack of perfection, yet we don't think anybody else can do it as good as we can. That
That's
doesn't
fair
make any sense.
enough. Not at all. When I first started reading your regular newsletter, you were talking about giving yourself permission. And do you feel like that was the sort of mantra for a while? Like, and it still is woven into your work, but give yourself permission for this and then this. So is th that seems like this was all born on what you were seeing, and maybe for yourself too.
Yes. I mean, I went to that Hey Mama event and I heard all these women say they needed permission, mostly moms. And I had been writing the Substack, Give Yourself Permission. And permission started to become like a lot of people were saying permission. And I felt like it started to get like kind of muddied. And I was like, oh, permission's not, might not be like just for me. Like, maybe this isn't my platform. Maybe this is something else. And like, because you're a writer and I'm a writer, I continue to write through it, right? I wrote hundreds of Substacks about permission and permission just to keep writing my way through it, right? Because that's, you got to go through it. And in that process, I created a book and I wrote this book, The 7 Steps to Permission. And I went to this tennis event in New York City for publishers and editors, and I went as a book coach. And I was like, subtly on the sidebar, going to tell people about this book, thinking, well, maybe I'll get an agent, right? And I ended up not talking to anybody at the tennis event necessarily about the book, but in the train station, waiting for the train, I ended up chatting with this editor who introduced me to someone on his team who introduced me to the age. So she read it and said, well, I don't know. Of course, permission seems a little hard. 7 steps. It seems, again, going back to the rigidity, right? Like everything has to be like seven steps and we've got to hammer it in. And she was like, everything you do is like, how do you feel when you do stuff? And I said, I feel delicious. And she goes, oh my God,
That's
that's
the
your
word.
book. I threw that book away. I mean, my partner was like, oh my God. I'm like, it is what it is. Like, you just move on. And so that book does not exist. I don't even, couldn't even tell you. Like, I don't even know
What
where
is
that book is.
it?
And I just wrote a new book.
Right. And that one needed to be written for this one to be birthed.
That's right. So if anyone writes a book and then feels bad that that book doesn't work out, it's okay because you're constantly birthing your next idea. And I believe that I wished in book coaching more people, look, it's a big financial and time investment to just do personal development through a book, but it is really some of the best personal development you can do if you have the resources to do it through a book. And I enjoyed when that was happening with clients to a degree. I couldn't be like a therapist, but you know. And even now with Delicious Life, I'm like, I can't solve your marital problems. I can't solve your parenting problems, but I can tell you, take a load off for 10 minutes and your brain, let your brain calm down, you know, before you make any major decisions.
And if that, it seems like the allowance too of, you're busy, you're taking, when we look around and we see the intensity of some of these situations of the unwellness of our parents or children struggling or whatever it is, the real things, right? Financial struggles. That's all true. So allow yourself to have the relief, the play. There's something that sometimes comes up, and you know how, like, you'd say, like, well, what do you want for your children? And people would say, I just want them to be happy. And that's such a blanket statement, it seems, where I think you talk about joy and how, one title that you had written, how overcoming perfectionism leads to more joy. Joy feels to me less of something we do and something that comes from the inside out. It feels like gratitude to me. And is that a feeling that you have too? And
Yes, and I'll be going to do something joyful. Like this past weekend, I hiked like an hour into a waterfall and went into the waterfall and made my partner go in the waterfall. He was very excited. And I am acutely aware that I deserve this level of joy. I am a human being on this earth. I get to hike into the thing on a Sunday. But always, the reason why I'm such a good spokesperson for this and such a good facilitator is I'm not going to say that running under the surface for me is not a voice that says, you've had a lot of fun. Like, it's time to get busy. Like, it's time. And I'm like, oh my God, like really? Like there's a meter of there's a joy, constant ticking joy meter that's like, okay, we've done, like let's get, and then if I go home and I go from the waterfall and then we cook a lovely meal and watch a movie, my mind's like blown. My mind's like, that was like so much joy without, like, what did you accomplish? Like, who did you help? You didn't open your laptop and do anything. Anything, and I have to say to that voice, it's Sunday, or I don't care if it's a Wednesday, I'll go, this is what I'm doing right now.
Yes, how beautiful. We're going to have those voices, and it's meeting those voices with, like, hey, I'm going to question you a little bit, and you're rewriting a
Right.
story.
You're writing a story, and sometimes it gets, you know, it look, it, here's what happens is it's like, the more joy you have, the more fun you have, the more those voices are going to try and protect you from being broke, losing your job, not paying attention to your children. It's like a broken fallacy that you can't do all those things. You can't be joyful and have a, it's like we're going to lose our head. We're going to be like, oh, forget everything. I went to the movies. Now I'm just reckless and hapless. And that doesn't, and that, and I think every time we have like lots of joy, and then we do take care of things that we also like, what doing this podcast right now, like, how is this my job? This is
Right.
amazing. Like, this brings me
Yes.
joy. There are things I do for my business that I don't like that don't bring me joy. I'm like, posting sometimes, or just, God, looking at the Google Calendar and just it's all self-generated and it's all self-motivated. And sometimes I'm
Oh,
just like, oh, I do want to escape. I'm
yeah.
keenly aware that is not joy. That is escape. But I
Right.
can do something for 10 minutes that rewires my brain. So if I, like yesterday, I know this is like a big monologue, but I think it's important. Yesterday, I was feeling a little bit depressed and a little down. And I was in inquisition about it. I was like, oh, you feel a little bit down. Like this is, but I, first of all, I said to myself, you get to have a day. You don't feel amazing. That's fine. And I went for a little walk to the end of the pier because I live on the ocean. So I went for a walk to the end of the pier, 10-minute walk. I saw surfers and couples, and I looked at the ocean 16 different ways, and I saw some weird bird, and I had the wind on my face, and I saw the thing, and I realized I'm a human being, and I looked up at the sky, and I came back, and I was like happy. So it's that quick. Now, I'm not saying that that's for anybody who's clinically depressed. I'm
Right,
talking about depressed in terms of like, I feel like down or like I don't feel uplifted, right?
And those kind of things too is, are we getting back to the point where it's the sim we've forgotten the simplest of remedies to bring us into joy, to bring us into gratitude, that awe and wonder. And I always wonder that these days with the rise of technology, and we keep on seeing that outer world, like, oh, more, more, more. I mean, you're saying, like, when you were a book coach, like, this is one industry that's being really affected by AI, but
It
that
is.
technology keeps on coming. And is it all this divine setup for us to rediscover the real truth about life?
Yeah, I mean that would be fantastic. I mean, I definitely know that we have to course correct. Like I'm realizing, and look, this might be a 50s thing. The 30-year-old me definitely had a very different kind of fun. It was not like a healthy fun for sure to burn off steam or whatever. But I would say to that 30-year-old or any 30-year-old that would be looking for advice now that I'm a little bit more in like midlife is, oh my God, I had so much time to just do lovely things without feeling stressed. None of the stress I felt when I was on a hike with my dog in my 30s contributed to anything happening professionally. I did not stress my way into any success. I could have had the same level, if not more success, had I known to relax.
Okay. So, kind of even that guidance, because I like how you said the sandwich generation is the 30 through the 60, because there is so much wisdom to impart about what really are the essential tools to bring you through and stress.
Right.
It's not one of them.
Right. Tribally, right? We can help each other in the 30 to 60 range because the 30-year-olds can give us, like, remind us that we're not like that old. And we can kind of impart some knowledge onto them of things that we've been through. Because once you're in your 30s, you're like starting to like realize, like, you're probably going to like make some decisions, whether it's like a career for the rest of your life, or you're going to have children, or you're not going to have children, you're going to get married, you're not going to get married. All these like decisions that you're making, you're kind of like really like, I think it's the sandwich generation because you're starting to have like responsive, like hardcore responsibility. Most people, women, and you're looking for guidance. I had nobody helping me in my 30s. I had no guidance at all. There were no mentors. There were no women mentoring me in the film business. There was none of that. And book coaching, I met a lot of women who helped me in business, but there wasn't a lot of like bonding. I like to say Delicious Life is in between going to a network event and having someone give you their Arbonne mid-level marketing card and getting your womb cleansed, right? Like they were so opposite extremes. And I was always like, where's the event like in the middle where we just hang out, like have fun, like in bond? You know, it's nobody could do it. Women were like, bonding, have fun, we have to sell. Or they just were flatlined and on a soul retrieval in Arizona. Like it was like all in, you know? And I was like, what about just like, and that's when Hey Mama and Omri really hit on something. When I started to go to those little events, they were like 4 hours, and we would get shoes from sponsors, and someone would do tapping, and we'd eat these little cakes, and we'd talk, and no one would really hand out a business card. And I was like, ooh, it still was networking. And then I was like, what happens if I take this to the next level? And there's really like no networking, but it's shorter, it's short. But we get to make goals, but the goals are like delicious things.
Yeah, I love that. You're right, reminding me. I think I had one particular interview a few months back, and it was on the spirituality lens, and I got off and it felt like a lot. And it prompted me to write an episode called Spirituality Light, that we can take the principles in lightness. And for me, we all have a signet or like way that we're doing this life, right? And someone asked me the other day, like, what's like one of your tones of voice? And and humor and lightness is one thing, at least I want it to be, you know, but I want to laugh. I want to have fun. I want to, even if, well, obviously not in the most serious of subjects, but if we're talking about like how the universe sets you up with experiences every single day, that can be light. But I think something you said about the process that's important is starting to greet yourself that way, starting to respond to yourself with that gentleness, starting to have compassion. And for me, those things helped me be less serious about it all. It allowed that armor, that protective, like to fall away. And I think I always had the humor, but that's the experience that I want to have, even with this podcast. And you know, that was one episode in a sea of 180 now, but that's kind of
That's a lot, Maureen. That's a lot.
it is a lot.
That's amazing. And it sounds like you love it and you love doing it. And like, we should do more of what we love, not should, but like move towards more of what we love doing.
I think so. And I think that something drew me, just as I'm thinking, as you're describing your trajectory, I'm like, oh, I wonder if Kim ever thought she would be a delicious life, you know, advocate. No, you never knew that was possible.
Never.
And the word came out of your mouth. You named it. And so when we name those things, that's what I love about process with women too, that I do say, take into consideration what flows through you and what, because even the name Mystical Sisterhood, it just was it's just a name that I thought of. And I was like, I like it. I want to pursue that. And I trademarked it because I talk about the business sense of things. I'm like, I'm going to sell that someday. Who knows if I will or not? But you know, when you think like this, who knows? I have no idea. But it still is the through line. And even where I am, it keeps me. When I get off these calls, and when I've met someone like you that is so spectacular, and I'm not afraid to say it, a fellow woman, and I think that that's the new paradigm, one of the new paradigms you're creating is this joyous, delicious life, this permission to do so, this desire to build community for people seeking these sorts of qualities. There's lots of new paradigms popping up, and they're also important because now I'm on my monologue, but was following kind of temper how much news I follow and things like that. But I was getting the feeling, and I heard it said the other day, that we're also living at a time where it's like, this is the problem. This is the problem. Too much tech, take over by the powers that be, et cetera, et cetera. But who's thinking of the solutions? And that's why, with 7 billion people on the planet, you're doing your corner of the world. I'm doing stuff over here. Forget any sort of old paradigm of competition, whatever. That's gone. Let's stop all that, right? And just be, I'm like, I'm in your corner. We need it all. We need the uprising of these groups. And because I feel a need is strong, but humanity is seeking solutions and answers and places.
I agree with you. I was sitting in January when I decided to kind of go for this full time. I sat for a minute and I thought, okay, like my brain's going to go to all the old places that I know of about building a business. It's going to go to like online classes and funnels and like websites and all this stuff. And I just went, okay, if I just no to all that, you know, or maybe someday, but right now, no. What is it that I need to do? And I was like blown away when my brain just started downloading, you need to go to acting classes and you need to take voice and speech classes and you need to get on the stage and you need to practice. And then my brain even went farther to go, but not like those speaking programs that they do for coaches. You need to like go to like acting classes. Like you're in LA, like you used to be an actress, like go to acting classes. And I was like, oh my God. And can you believe the one person I got recommended to talk to was to one of Tony Robbins' main speakers. And I talked to her, and she's not even in the business anymore. And she was like, yeah, I did an 8-week Meisner technique class, and it changed my life. And I enrolled that day.
Oh,
And I
cool.
felt so weird when I told my partner, I was like, so like Mondays and Tuesdays and Saturdays for like 8 weeks, I'm going to be in like an intensive Meisner acting class. Like when you're marrying someone and they're like, I don't have a job anymore. And now I'm going to go take acting classes. And he was like so supportive because like I believe that download is real.
So do I. So do I. And we're receiving a lot all the time.
I have to be ready, going to what you said, for us to facilitate these movements.
That's right. And so are you in the thick of the Meisner, or is that
So
you've
it
done it?
starts end of July, but I just did a voice and speech class at a different acting school because I got that download and then I got this other download. And the
Perfect.
voice and speech class was me in like a black box theater in Hollywood for 2 straight days, performing on a stage, just this small little thing that you learn. You're learning to project. You're learning to bring your voice up from your throat. You're doing like throat exercises. Like you're learning as an actor. But for me, like to get on a stage and be passionate about what I believe in, I am an actor, right? So that blew my mind how much I loved it and how I was scared, but I wasn't that scared. So that's when I know I'm a channel. That's when I know I'm a vessel.
That's great.
That's when I know that I'm being readied for an assignment and a calling. Because it's not about me. It's not about me. Like, why would I be nervous if I'm on a, if I have an assignment?
Absolutely. And again, the Kim of 5 years ago, I don't know. But it's
5 years ago, no, I didn't buy a
great.
laptop. I was all about funnels and online programs and
I
selling you
know.
everything I could sell you. And
Yeah, and so that right there is, I think, a tell also of how did it make you feel when you got the download, when you like had the download of the class or the voice class versus, oh, I got to learn about funnels. Because I find
oh.
myself in the solopreneurship business, I can tell within 30 seconds if something exhausts me. And I will
Yes.
I'll see something around podcasting and it's brilliant what they're saying. And then I go to open the podcast about podcasting and my body just gets exhausted. And I'm like, and I also think it's the way my brain works and, you know, but I know we're rewriting rules too. And a couple of years ago, I started a group. It's no longer, but it was called Creator Connections about our creatorship. And that's the one thing, Kim, too, is that I was, I think, through doing coaching and creating this and allowing myself to pursue this. And, you know, I still work with the parts that want to hide or don't want to say it fully or whatever it is. But I know we have this stupendous, crazy creative nature to us. And I was always the one like, I'm not an artist, I'm not creative, all that. And I became a speech pathologist. And I'm like, this isn't right. But it had something about the language and the voice and the communication that did, right? Just as I'm sure your background does.
Right.
But that's where I sometimes these days I'm like, what's all this AI stuff? Because I was at the same time concurrently learning for the first time in my life what a creator I was and what we all are. And so that's what I'm kind of interested in too. And I really do believe that we're, I think on different levels, but we're each here with kind of reasons why we are and touching one another's lives, connecting and bringing forth however it is we do it is so important right now.
Well, I think that the girl who was 18 who went to school to college to be an actress, there's so much like inside myself at that age that couldn't handle the pressure of being perfect. And now I don't want to say I don't care. I care. It's that I would rather mess up or like not get something right or try and not, because I think that's part of the process. And I'm like at the point in my life where I'm like, who's going to tell me that I'm not allowed to do that? Like, show me a perfect person. And so I think that I'm going into these classes now at an age where I've gone through so much life stuff that I'm like, really? Memorizing a scene. I'm not to discount actors because there's actors that are actors, right? And I'm not going to be that in this lifetime, but I'm like, I've gone through some really, really, really hard stuff. I probably can handle the Meisner class, right?
And being that conduit and that why
To
it's
be a
coming through.
conduit, to be a conduit, so I could get on the other side and I could engage and speak and share and get to the point. And get
Yes,
to the point.
absolutely. Well, I'm excited for what you're creating. I'm excited for this beginning conversation between us. I always ask at the end of the podcast is anything else kind of coming through you, Kim, that you feel is important to share or is a channeled message that is important for the now?
It's interesting because I just wrote a whole thing about kids home for the summer. And, even though I'm getting to the tail end of that, my daughter is going to be a senior next year. My other daughter is a junior in college, going to be a senior in college. I still have that energy jolt about like it's summer, right? For anybody out there who is like on that verge of like empty nesting, like you don't have to wait. I've started processing. But I haven't just started processing any kind of grief in terms of like the ending of that of a phase. I've started to get excited about my life,
Yeah, I'm excited for
about
that too.
my life, you know?
Yeah, it's so exciting. Thanks for bringing everything you are into
Thank
the world. It's
you.
awesome.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And I will include everything in the show notes in terms of your website and your Substack, which I have been falling in love with recently, just that platform because it's got such innovative voices and it kind of runs the spectrum of, whatever you're looking for. And have you found that it's been a great place to express your voice?
I've really done a lot on Substack. I've really enjoyed Substack and I've enjoyed reading certain people on Substack. I wish I had more time. Like that's my guilt, like my guilty feeling with Substack is like I really wish I could read everything I want to
I
on Substack.
know.
And I don't even listen barely to podcasts. I have an audiobook I've been trying to get through forever. So it's like or just the time to be able to tuck in and really identify. And that's why I'm always so grateful when someone becomes a subscriber to my summit, because I'm like, wow, you took time to read what I'm writing, you know?
I know. And I've heard a woman I really like, she specializes in Canva and sort of a lot of visuals. She said it's like an honor to be in someone's email box. Like it's an honor because the Substack, they come to the email and say, Maureen, you've got, Kim's new writing and everything. So, and I think it's true. And I'm always like getting these days, I'm getting my deliciousness is getting rid of what doesn't serve me and coming back to what makes me feel alive because that's what I'm kind of going for every day. So,
That's
okay.
important. That's
Well, it's
important.
just the beginning, an extension of where we first met. But thank you, Kim, and thanks to the listeners as
Thank you. Thank
always.
you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my one-on-one coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.